divisional play is underway and all eyes are on the prize. Week 4 is in the books for MHSAA football. Good evening and welcome to the WLW Sports Network's presentation of The Strong Side on Sports Radio 102.1. I'm Clark Ramsey, your host, and joining me tonight is a true professional, even has a license to prove it. Please welcome Dave Hansen.
Thanks, guys. Didn't quite see a great game, but we do have a couple really good games to talk about here in the next hour.
Also in studio with us is the sports editor of the Huron Daily Tribune, Paul P. Adams.
We may have not seen a great game, but I think we saw a great team, Dave.
Greater Thumb Conference teams now stick to their divisions for the next 4 weeks, for the lead of the front runners seems to be a bit closer than we originally thought.
I was going to say we sure do. There's a couple teams that came out of nowhere and some really close games from teams I didn't think were going to even compete.
I know. When we did the media roundtable on Friday, we predicted some blowouts, and we couldn't have been more far off, so I'm glad we get to talk about some of these games.
Tonight's edition of The Strong Side is being presented on the WLAW Sports Network by Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine, McCormick Motors of Pigeon, Rainey's Hunting Center, Thumb National Bank and Trust, Ensure, Better Health, Better Life. Are you sure? For the next 60 minutes, we're talking high school football in the Thumb of Michigan. Left side or right side, you're listening to The Strong Side. Side to right side, you're listening to The Strong Side. This segment of The Strong Side being presented by Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine. Life is painful enough. No need to feel it in your back, too. That's Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine, just west of the light in Bad Axe, and a second location in Sandusky. Let's take a look across the Week 4 scoreboard, and we'll start in the A-player division in the North Central Thumb League, which is more of the greater state of Michigan league now. North Huron and Caseville were referred to play on Friday, but Caseville had to forfeit, so North Huron moves to 3-1 on the season. New Haven Merritt traveled to Bay City to take on the Catholics. It was 69 Bay City All Saints to New Haven Merritt's 26. New Bay City All Saints now at 3-1. Owen Gage gets on the board with their first victory of the season as they take out Akron Fairgrove on the road 40-24. The Peck Pirates take out the CPS Tigers 38-6 in Carsonville. Deckerville gets by Kingston, but it was scary for a few moments there as Deckerville just wins by a lone possession 20-14 in Kingston to move to 4-0 and retain their number one spot in the state of Michigan. Burton Madison Academy was on the road at Larry. Lawrence score won, though, 64-18 to move to 3-1. Burton Madison at 1-3. Morris was at Dryden, and it was all Morris all very often. 59-6 was the final score there. Morris at 4-0 on the season. And the other 4-0 team in the air in the division and league, Flint International at 4-0. They took out Mayville 52-26.
I think the favorites are finally separating themselves in the stripes division. I think it's North Huron, Bay City All Saints, and everybody else. And obviously in the stars right now, Deckerville, Flint International, and Morris. And it's surprising at this point in the season that none of them have played each other. So we really don't know, you know, how good they are. I really believe that Deckerville is still a cut above those teams, but going to be interesting to see when Deckerville gets a chance to play against Morris and Flint International.
I couldn't agree more. Don't let the Deckerville score fool you. I still think they're the best team in eight-player football in anywhere near our area. But looking at those other two games, I think this is only good for Deckerville. Morris and Flint International are going to provide a playoff-like game early in this season, something they haven't had in the last couple years. They rolled through opponents the last couple years. Now, this is going to give them some battle tests and a little preview of what the playoffs is going to be like, and I think it's going to be fun to see which one of these teams sort themselves out as first, second, third in the Stars division.
I agree completely, Dave. That's what the NCTL has been lacking over the last few years is stiff competition, and I think this Stars division it has provided that, and I think Deckerville and the rest of the teams in this division are going to be better off for it when they get out of division and start participating in the playoffs.
We will have more on that Deckerville and Kingston ball game at about 7:45 tonight on The Strong Side. Moving on to 11-player football, the Greater Thumb Conference kicked off divisional play in week number 4. And in the East, it was actually through the whole Greater Thumb Conference, all the home teams won this week. Memphis was at Sandusky, and Sandusky blows them out 58-14. Marlette was at Harbor Beach, and the Pirates take out the Red Raiders, a swashbuckling affair, 39-6 there. The Ubly Bearcats hosted the Brown City Green Devils, and it was close. It was tied at halftime, 8-8. And then Ubly, with two touchdowns in the third quarter, pull away. They won 28-14 and moved to 3-1 on the season. Bad Axe traveled to Vassar, the land of no bleachers, and Vassar won 40-24. For those who don't know, Vassar's bleachers actually did not pass the safety test yet. Bring your own chairs now to the ball games. USA was at Cass City, and this one was a barn burner all the way to the end. And Cass City squeaks one out with 58 seconds left in regulation to win 18-14 to stay undefeated on the season and in first place in the Greater Thumb West, tied with Vassar and Lakers. And speaking of Lakers, the Lakers hosted the Reese Rockets on Friday, a game you heard on Sports Radio 102.1 and WLWSports.com with Clark Ramsey, Dave Hansen, Doug Cole, and Kayla O'Neill, and it was all green and white all night long, and it was 38-0 when the final bell tolled.
That was a great game. But looking at some of these schedules, obviously there's a couple of them that really make you stand out. You know, Brown City goes into Ubly, a place that is such a tough place to play at and win. Ubly always seems to play so well there. Coming out sluggish and just not being able to move the football, Brown City had a good game plan in there. Obviously minimized possessions of the Bearcats, but it was a closer game than I think is comfortable, because we've been talking about all year was how good this Ubly Bearcat team is, and maybe it's a good thing. Maybe the competition in the East is a little better than we thought, but a scary game here for Ubly, but good teams find a way to win.
And likewise, on the other side of the conference, Cass City and USA, I don't think anybody saw this one coming. 18-14, I expected Cass City to really handle its business. This was the top scoring offense in the league, I believe, coming in. And to be held to 18 points, and USA gave themselves a really realistic shot to win that game and fell a little short. I think that says a lot about USA, and I have all sorts of red flags flying up about Cass City right now. I don't know what to think of this team.
Well, the game of the week was the Lakers and the Reese Rockets. It was 38-0 when all said and done. And this is how it sounded on Sports Radio 102.1 Friday night on Friday Night Lights on WLEW Sports Network. It's an absolutely beautiful night, and tonight it's the official start of additional play in the Greater Thumb Conference. The Reese Rockets on the road at the Elkton Vision Bayport Lakers.
So all negative yardage so far for Reese, and now they're going to have to punt from their own end zone.
Nearly blocked. He gets this one off and bounces at the 41 into Laker territory. Wisner under center and in motion of Minetti, and he gets the pitch inside the right guard. He's out for the right man in motion. Five, and the touchdown, Lakers! Corey Minetti with the run in from the 25-yard line, and the green and white is on the board first. Going for two, overloading the right side. Wisner is going to keep it for himself, go to the left, and with his brute strength, he gets across the end zone line, and the two-point conversion, and the Wisner keeper is good. It is Lakers 8, Reese nothing with 10 seconds left in the first quarter. Receiver wide each way, Fisher looking to pass. He's in trouble and lets this one fly downfield, and this was intercepted. Brennan Wisner intercepts him at the 38-yard line. He's back into Reese territory and forced out of bounds at the 45-yard line. And the woes continue for the Reese offense. And Lakers back on inside of Reese territory at the 45-yard line. It is 8-0 already. 9:37 left in the second quarter. Second down and goal from the 5. Wisner under center. Gets the pitch on the man in motion to Warren. Driving all the way down to the 1-yard line. Can he get across? Touchdown, Lakers! Preston Warren on the second and third effort gets across the end zone line, and the Lakers strike for the second time tonight. 4:53 before the half is over. Lakers 14, Reese nothing.
Do you punt it away? Looks like the answer is yes.
And with fourth and one, they do punt it away. Nice punt from Robinson. Comes in at the 36-yard line where it's fair caught by Brennan Wisner. And the Lakers will start this drive with 2 minutes and 44 seconds to work with at their own 35-yard line. Man in motion, Wisner is going to be going down past midfield. And this one's caught by Taylor Akiti again. He's at the 5. Touchdown, Lakers! Brennan Wisner connects with Taylor Akiti on for the 33-yard score. It's now Lakers out by 3 scores with a minute 35 before the half. Wisner is under center, and it's a pitch to number 23. Preston Warren knees in, standing up untouched. It is now Lakers out by 22 points as they are blanking the Reese Rockets so far in Laker country. And Reese is going to be going for it on fourth down and 6. They're rolling to his right. Fisher throws this one downfield all the way down to about the 15-yard line. Jump ball, and it is intercepted. Lakers intercepts it at the 17-yard line and picking
them
off.
I'll give you one guess, Clark.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that's Brennan Wisner. That's how we come to halftime. Lakers leading 22-0 over the Reese Rockets. Receiver wide to the right, Nick Curtis. It's going to be a handoff, and it almost looks like a bad snap, and he can't get it off. And Lakers blasted right through the line and brings him down for a loss on fourth down in a turnover of downs as the Laker defense comes through in the clutch again. Wisner back to pass. Wide open is Taylor Caney at the 35, to the 20, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Lakers! Taylor Caney brings in the pass. It's a 52-yard catch and run into the end zone. And Lakers strikes again, this time with 7:47 left in the third quarter. And they're going to hand it off to number 8, and he's in. Jake Kretschmer standing up for the two-point conversion. It is Lakers 30, Reese nothing. Robinson's punt nearly blocked by Kretschmer, but it gets it off. High-flying punt bounces at the 43, takes a Reese bounce. 49-yard punt from Robinson, and Lakers will take over at their own 34-yard line, leading 30-0, 5.5 left in the third quarter. Wisner gets the snap, hands it off to Jake Kretschmer, pushes the pile forward, and he should be in, and no signal yet from the officials. There it is, touchdown Lakers! So Jake Kretschmer gets into the end zone to start the fourth quarter. Wisner back to pass, and he has a man open, it's caught by number 85, Mason Pasek, struggling, and he gets close to the end zone. Two-point conversion is good. Mason Pasek brought that into the 5-yard line, was dragged down to the ground, but his knee did not touch, and dives across the end zone for a two-point conversion. It is now Lakers 38, Reese nothing, 11:38 left in regulation. 30 seconds remain in the fourth quarter. Receiver wide each way, Fisher throws this down to the far sideline. It is caught by number 8. Kyle Stockmeyer, and he is forced out of bounds as time expires, and that is the end of the game. Lakers 38-0, your final from Laker Country, right here on the WLEW Sports Network. Reese was limited to just one first down in the first half and had two in the second half for a total of 3 first downs throughout the whole game, compared to Lakers' 15 first downs, 10 in the first, 5 in the second half. Lakers ended up with 264 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns on 40 totes. Reese, 29 carries for 33 yards. Through the air was not much better. They only had 18 yards for a total offensive production night of 51 yards for the Rockets.
It was total domination on both sides of the ball, defense, offense. What I liked about the offense, though, from Lakers is it's not just one guy. You know, in years past, it's been, you know, kind of a Brendan Wisner show, and he's very well capable of carrying that load. But when you look at the carry numbers, that's what I really liked is 14, 9, 7, and 7 from those running backs, spreading out that load and not really putting it on one guy. And I think that puts a lot of pressure on opposing defenses because you can't go in face Lakers and say, oh, we could take Jake Kretschmer out of the game, we could take Taylor Caney out of the game and win this game. Very tough team to game plan against.
And you mentioned the carries, 9, 14, 7, and 7. There's one name you don't see there, and that's their best weapon. And it's Brennan Wisner. They're protecting him right now for the long stretch of the season and into a playoff run. And I think that's crucial. The double wing offense is really interesting. And I say that just to counter myself a little bit, because there were times where Brennan Wisner is such a competitor that he would pitch the ball to Kretschmer on the outside, and then Wisner would hit the hole first as a fullback. And I thought that was very impressive. I know we talked about it, Clark, on the air, and it was like, man, they're trying to protect this kid, but he can't help himself. He's going to lead block. He wants the team to do well. He doesn't need to be the guy scoring. But I think taking out what you said, there's two things that stand out to me, and I thought the ability to play action pass out of the double wing offense, it was fluent. It was easy. Maybe it was a combination of bad defense, but there were some excellent throws that made in that game, and I expect that to be a factor in this run. And the other thing was, man, that defensive line was unbelievable. They were in the backfield on every play on Reese.
And when you take a look at Brendan Wisner, 4 for 8 through the air for 114 yards with 2 scores, both to Taylor Caney, who ended up with 92 yards on 3 receptions. And like you said, Dave, because you take a look, Laker defense, 22 tackles, and then tack on top of that, 7 tackles for a loss, 4 sacks, 1 tip pass, 2 interceptions, and 0 defensive penalties.
They were just sound on offense and defense. The first 2 possessions Reese had, it was 3 and outs, and they ran 2 pass plays, which were both sacks, and they ran 4 running plays, and all 4 of them went for 1 yard loss or more. They did not have a positive play in their first first two possessions, and the only thing they had going for them, which kept them in the game a little earlier, was their punter was magnificent. He was by far the MVP of that team.
That was worth a ding.
I think he averaged just shy of 50 yards on
about
his punts.
48 yards,
I was just going to say, just shy of 50 yards he averaged on punts. He was a big savior in that game for Reese.
But I think Reese kind of played into Lakers' strength as a defense, spreading it out a little bit, going from the pro set, I formations. And I thought that allowed Lakers to do what they wanted to do to really get that pressure. Now, this coming week, Lakers is going to face a team that wants to absolutely run it down your throat, power run. And how are the Lakers going to adjust when all that pressure that they like to bring isn't really going to, it's going to be kind of offset by the power offense that Cass City wants to run.
Well, we haven't seen Cass City up close yet, but I can tell you this. Those defensive line of Lakers, they were physical, and they were moving guys around, and that's exactly what you need to stop a team that wants to run the ball right at you.
The other thing that sticks out to me, and, you know, we have, over the past year or so, really been critical of the Lakers and their penalties, and rightfully so. They have committed a lot and at inopportune times, two penalties for 15 yards, and like Clark said, nothing on the defensive side. So that is a clean stat sheet as far as penalties go, 2 for 15, and what they did on defense. This team looks completely different under Coach Steve Berg right now. I think they look great. I can't wait for this week to see them against Cass City, because I believe we are looking at a true Greater Thumb West Championship game in Week 5.
Lakers goes on to play Cass City at home, who Cass City's 4-0, Lakers at 3-1 in Week 2 of divisional play. Reese at 2-2 on the season now. They are at Vassar, who just took out Bad Axe to move to 2-2 on the season. Reese had only one play that went more than 8 yards, and that was a 17-yard catch. Not much going, thanks to in part to that Laker defensive front. It's time for a short break. When we return, we'll take a look at the Cass City Redhawks and USA ball game from last Friday. Right here, left side or right side, you're listening to The Strong Side. Left side or right side, you're listening to The Strong Side on the WLAW Sports Network. Clark Ramsey, Dave Hansen from the Herein Daily Tribune, Paul P. Adams also in studio with us, Coulter Stewart filming for the Herein Daily Tribune. You'll be able to watch The Strong Side on michiganstumb.com sometime this week. We'll post that up. So
maybe Tuesday.
Tuesday. We'll see. It's still the same news, depending on until Friday, so We're good there. Hey, Cass City and the USA squared off on Friday, and this one went down to the bitter end. In the first quarter, absolutely no scoring. In the second quarter, finally, the stalemate was broken with 4 minutes and 28 seconds left before the half. Cass City's Nick Perry blasts out for a 48-yard run for the score. The two-point conversion failed. It is 6-0 Cass City. But wait, there's more. 13 seconds before the half is over, USA's Micah Kramer connects with Hunter Bone for a 4-yard pass. The two-point conversion is good, as it's a catch to Brennan Prime, and suddenly the USA Patriots are leading Cass City at halftime 8-6. In the third quarter, Cass City responds, though, about halfway through the quarter, 5:24 left in the third. Sandon Cuthrell breaks out for himself, 48 yards run into the end zone for the score. Two-point conversion failed again. It's a 4-point ball game. Cass City retakes the lead at 12-8. Moving on, about 12 minutes later from the fourth quarter, 5:05 remain in regulation. USA's Hunter Bone with a big night. He had a 5-yard run for a score. 2-point conversion failed, and USA leads by 2 points, 14-12. 4 minutes later, and with 58 seconds left, Cass City marches down the field, and Sandon Cuthrell on a 9-yard sweep gets into the end zone. 2-point conversion failed, capping off a 5-minute drive. And Cass City is your victor, 18-14, to move to 4-0 in overall and 1-0 in division.
You know, a few years ago, Michigan State used to see, doesn't matter, win's a win. And Cass City will subscribe to this saying. A win is a win. This was ugly. Ugly, ugly win. Not something that we predicted. I thought Cass City would handle USA a little bit better with that high-powered offense. A lot of credit has to go to USA. They came up with a good defensive game plan. You know, I'm looking through our stats, and one name I don't see is Brendan Hamilton. And Brendan Hamilton has been tearing it up through the first few weeks of the season. And for him to not even register in the stat sheet tells me that USA had an excellent game plan. They took him out, and they made other players beat them, and they did, but it wasn't by much. So for me, this says a lot about USA. Unfortunately, it drops them to 2-2, so they really need to string some wins together. They can't go win-loss at this point anymore. They have to go two or three wins in a row. But, for Cass City, like I said in the open, red flags everywhere. I don't know what to think of this team because here we saw a good defensive performance from them with only 14 points, but this high-powered offense was absolutely shut down, only 18 points. So I'm not sure what to make as they go into Lakers.
I think what the first thing you can make of it, Clark, is, Paul, is that the defense of USA and the team under this new coach is starting to come together. Well, we've seen it with the last coach. We're seeing it with this one. USA has enough guys and talented players in their program, okay, to be a good team. And I think you've seen them overcome a somewhat tough Sandusky team. They may not be a playoff team, but they made a nice win there, and I think that was just what the program needed. And they rode that high into Cass City knowing that they got nothing to lose. Cass City's the favorite. Let's go in and give them everything we got. And I think they had a great chance to win. I'm not so certain that doesn't mean Cass City isn't as good as what they are, but they found a way to win a tough game, a rivalry game, a conference game. You know, we're all Big Ten guys. We see this every year. You see some just flat-out slugfest, and sometimes the defenses are the better qualities that these teams have, and that's the first time we've said that about Cass City this year, their defense playing well.
I'll tell you what this does. It erases week one. Scratch that from your memory when Ubley beat this USA team 34-0, because that was a team, like you just said, Dave, that was getting used to a new coach, new system, and not necessarily new system, but you know, just kind of finding itself under a new coach, and I think that Sandusky game last week was just what the doctor ordered. That team came together. You could feel it. You guys were on hand to see that. And I think that carried over against Cass City. And I think that's going to be something that we'll see throughout the rest of the season with this USA team. That Sandusky game, you're going to look back to if this team can string enough wins together and make the playoffs. You go back to Sandusky, and that was the turning point of the season for that team.
Based on what we've seen with USA and seeing Lakers now up close, I think Lakers probably is going to beat that USA team. So there's loss number three. But I certainly would not be surprised to see USA win the rest of their games and get into the playoffs at 6-3. I certainly think this team will get better. I think they will push Lakers in that game as well, just because they are going to get better as the season goes on.
They're going to push every team on their schedule, win or lose. I mean, if they could do this, go into Cass City, a brutal place to play, and do this to Cass City, every team that has yet to face USA, that should be a wake-up call for them, and do not take USA lightly.
Oh, what a difference a week makes for your perspective of the Patriots, huh?
Yes, sir.
So when you think about it, though, Cass City 18, USA 14. USA nearly upsets Cass City at home, and they did it without running back Allen Raban, who was ejected at the end of the Sandusky game. Allen Raban led USA in rushing last week in Sandusky with 25 carries, 132 yards, and a touchdown. USA almost did that this week, upset Cass City without him. So what's this team capable of doing?
Well, I don't think they're – I want to say they're a better team without Allen Raban.
I'm not saying that at all.
But it clearly goes to show you that without him, they didn't miss a beat, because they played a Cass City team that we all felt would beat USA by two or three scores, and I don't think any of us would fail to admit that. So I think they have more – players, more depth than we possibly thought they had, because they gave Cass City everything they had.
Well, I remember last week you guys kind of called out Hunter Bone. You were kind of expecting a bigger game out of him. Didn't hear him much. And this week, he's running in touchdowns. He's catching passes. He seems to be doing it all.
Well, he's a player that I thought was capable of doing that and just needed a chance to shine. And hopefully that he had this opportunity against Cass City, he gets incorporated into the offense a little bit more than he was through the first few weeks of the season.
USA was led by Hunter Bone, 9 carries for 28 yards and 1 touchdown. USA on the night just had 80 yards rushing and a score. Through the air, 88 yards and a touchdown. Cass City was led by Nick Perry on 13 carries, 122 yards and 1 touchdown. Luke Stern, 13 carries, 56 yards. Sandy Cothrell through the air, 2 for 3 for 17 yards and 1 interception. Micah Kramer threw 2 interceptions on 9 of 17 passing. Cass City are now 4-0, 1-0 in divisional play. They are at Lakers this week. who will be going head-to-head, both 1-0 in divisional play in the West. Lakers at 3-1 in the season, winning 3 in a row. USA now falls to 2-2 on the season, 0-1 in divisional West, and they are hosting the Bad Axe Hatchets, who are 1-3 on the season. Cass City never allowed a run over 9 yards in this ballgame, so some impressive defense across the board in week number 4.
I'm most impressed with USA's defense. This was a Cass City team through the first few weeks of the season that was absolutely steamrolling everybody on offense. And we said they needed to shore things up on defense, which they did. But USA's defense, to hold this team to 18 points, I think that really shows me a lot. If they can get the offense to catch up to the defense, this is a team, I agree, Dave. When you look at the schedule, there's enough games on this schedule to win for USA to rally from 2-2 and be able to make the playoffs.
One thing I am impressed about with Cass City, I have not ruled them out yet, but I was impressed that their defense made the adjustment. If they're going to beat Lakers and they're going to run the table and they're going to win the West, they couldn't do it by giving up 30 points a game. You can't lean on your offense to score 50 points a week. You're going to run into these good defenses. They got to find ways to win. They found ways to win without Brendan Hamilton making a big play or busting a big run. It was Stern. It was Cathrell making a couple big plays down the stretch, young quarterback, and the seventh-year running back, Nick Perry, who we love so much, stepped up in his senior year, makes a big statement game in a tough conference game.
Cassidy now averaging 39 points in offense, giving up 22.5 on defense, so they're starting to bring those numbers into proper position. 731 on Sports Radio 102.1. Yeah, there's this. Helps if I push the right button. It is a beautiful day for football. It's a beautiful weekend, in fact. It's currently still 75 degrees at our Eastside studios of the Clark Ramsey Manor of the WLW Sports Network. Life, liberty, in the pursuit of luxury. Book your stay today or like them on Facebook. That's the Clark Ramsey Manor. 74 degrees, clear skies, and it's looking like it's going to be a hot one for this upcoming week. Should be good. Paul Janis is standing by with your forecast. Paul, take it away. Thank you, Paul. 732, 733 now on Sports Radio 102.1, 74 degrees. And this past segment was being brought to you by Randy's Hunting Center of Bad Axe. For any of your fish hunting and fishing needs, make it Randy's Hunting Center in Bad Axe, where the bucks are big, the tails are long, and all of the deer are four-legged. Give them a call at 269-GUNS. This segment of The Strong Side being presented by Thumb National Bank and Trust, going wherever you are with online banking and mobile app designed just for you. Thumb National Bank and Trust, locations in Pigeon, Case Hill, Cass City, 2 locations in Bay City, and also in Bad Axe. Big segment coming up here. We have Brown City and Ubley, Marlette and Harbor Beach, and Deckerville at Kingston. Let's start out with the Ubley Bearcats. It was a tight one in Ubley, actually in Ubley, yes it was. Brown City came in and scored first with 3:35 left in the first quarter. Brown City gets on the board with a Ricky Lindsay 2-yard run. The 2-point conversion from Blevins was good, makes it 8-0 Brown City. Ubley later in the quarter, Casey Sweeney runs in from 5 yards out. 2-point conversion on the keeper from Mychek ties it up at 8 apiece. And that's how we actually get to halftime, no scoring in the second quarter. Then the third quarter, 10:57, just coming out of the break. A minute and 3 in, Gregory Keller caps off a 2-yard run for a score, and Keller runs in the 2-point conversion as well. It's Ubley up by a touchdown, 16-8. 9 minutes later, Ubley with 1 minute left in the third quarter. Keller runs in again, 1 yard out. 2-point conversion failed. This is after being set up by Ethan Lemke in a 50-yard run and a 9-yard run. Makes it 22-8. Ubley starting to pull away there up by 14. Here come the Brown City Green Devils, though. 8:40 left in the fourth quarter. Sebastian Blevins with a 50-yard reverse run in for the score. The two-point conversion failed. It's an eight-point ball game, 22-14. But Ubley shuts the door with 5 minutes and 20 seconds left as Gregory Keller with another score, his third of the night with a 13-yard run. Two-point conversion failed, but it didn't matter as they were 1-28-14. Ubley Bearcats now at 3-1.
What surprises me the most is that Ubley only scored 28 points on a defense that was giving up well over 40 points coming in. And that's why I predicted a big score. Brown City has shown the ability coming into this game that they could score the ball, but they couldn't stop anybody. And to hold Ubley to 28 points, that was a realistic shot to win that game.
Keep in mind, they had another good game plan going against Ubley. They knew their defense probably couldn't hold up. So what did they do? They grinded out drives. They got first downs. When Brown City scored with 3:35 left in the go, they got the opening kickoff. So do the math on time of possession here. Ubley didn't touch the football until 3:35 in the first quarter left. The Brown City drives were long, they were elegant, and they took a long time and 3 yards in a cloud of dust. But they kept the Bearcats off the field. They kept the defense on the field. They wore them down, and Brown City pushed Ubley to the limits. And if Ubley's offense isn't on the field very often, it's very difficult to score. So they did a really nice job, but at the end of the day, the better team won. The Bearcats, almost 300 yards on the ground. And Brown City, with 200 yards rushing and 4 TDs, I thought was pretty impressive. But I thought the game plan of Brown City was what made this game closer than probably what it really is.
Dave, I think that's the first time Brown City football has ever been called elegant.
I'll give you that one. For Ubley, they were led by Ethan Lemke with 12 carries, 199 yards. Gregory Keller, 12 carries, 70 yards and 3 touchdowns. And Casey Sweeney, 5 carries for 32 yards and 1 touchdown. As far as their passing game,
you shall not pass!
Not a single pass attempted in this ballgame. Classic Ubley football. Brown City was led by Blevins with 9 carries for 96 yards and a touchdown. He also had 7 tackles on the defensive side. Ricky Lindsay, 15 carries, 75 yards and a score. Calvin Cook threw the air, 3 for 5, and also threw one interception for 13 yards. Ubley at 3-1, 1-0 in divisional play, now tied with Harbor Beach and Sandusky, all with 1-0 in divisional play. Ubley now on the road at Marlette, who is 1-3, has lost 3 straight games. Brown City at 0-4, they are at Memphis, also winless on the season.
I'm looking at 2 important things here we didn't cover. Brown City turned the ball over 5 times in this game, so this game was very close. I still think the Bearcats are a much better team. And one thing else I want to point out, this is the best 0-4 team I've ever been a part of, because Brown City is not an 0-4 team. They are a much better team than their record states, and they're going to get Memphis. They're going to get win number 1, and it might be a stretch of wins that they get. Unfortunately, they're going to have to win out if they want any chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah, they're going to have to win out and get help. And you just think about who else is left for Brown City to face. They have to still go through Harbor Beach and Sandusky, two very tough teams there. So Brown City's got a lot in front of them. For Ubley, this is kind of a little wake-up call. You can't just roll the football out, even if you're at home where Ubley wins most of the time, and think it's going to be good enough. So, you know, again, like we said earlier, a win is a win. Doesn't matter how you get it, as long as that W goes into the column. And Ubley has that, and they go on to the next game.
And I thought it was very impressive that of their 298 yards, Ethan Lemke had 199 of them. So I think maybe the Bearcats may have found another running back to go to help add to the depth and quality of the backfield that the Bearcats almost always have year in and year out.
And for those other 99 yards, a passing one. Harbor Beach and Marlette faced off in Harbor Beach on Friday, and the Pirates take out the Marlette Red Raiders 39-6 with your final score. Halfway through the first quarter, Cole Anderson with a 5-yard run. The PAT from Robert Emming was good, and it's 7-0 Harbor Beach as they cap off a 10-play, 5-minute, 5-second drive covering 60 yards. 10:56 left in the second quarter. Tyler Burkhardt, which is a 2-yard run. The PAT from Emming was good, and that would made it 14-0 after a 50-yard drive. Good field position all night for the Harbor Beach Pirates. 4:48 left before the half, and Marlette breaks the shutout as Armstrong with a 7-yard pass to Brett Havens. 2-point conversion failed. It's 14-6. Harbor Beach suddenly at uneasy before half, but 2:51 left about 2 minutes later. Harbor Beach intercepts the ball, then Tyler Burkhardt on the next play, 44 yards in for the score. The PAT was good, and it's suddenly 21-6. 11 seconds they had the ball there. 53 seconds before the half is over, though, Harvard Reach with James Shelke, a 28-yard pass to Cody Brown. The PAT failed. It was 27-6 at the half. Third quarter, one score only, and it was 7:16 left, and James Shelke dove in from 1 yard out. PAT was blocked by Marlette, and it was 33-6, and the onslaught was on. And with 4:13 left in the fourth quarter, Harbor Reach's Devin Finkel runs in from 3 yards out. The PAT was blocked again, and it was 39-6. Harbor Reach with the victory to move to 3-1 on the season. They were led by Tyler Burkow with 20 carries, 122 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
What's not to like about Harbor Beach right now? This is a team that I think is kind of just flying under the radar, really happy to be 3-1, and I don't think is drawing a lot of attention from teams on its schedule. And quite frankly, Harbor Beach should be getting a lot of attention right now at 3-1, winning games with its a pretty good offense. I like what we saw with the drives, 10, 9, 9, 6 plays on some of those drives. Defense setting up the offense, such an improved defense, and the offense, they've suffered some injuries. Up steps Tyler Burkhart, 20 carries, 122 yards, and 2 scores. So I think this was another quality win for the Pirates and a very dangerous team as we move forward.
So you're saying Harbor Beach should get more publicity. What, is not the newspaper not covering them enough or something, or what?
Oh, we've covered them enough.
Just checking. You hold the keys to that.
No. I'm saying just perception.
Oh, I know. I got you.
You know, perception is that, Ubley is the hands-down favorite to win the East, and not so fast. This Harbor Beach team, I think, is going to have a lot to say about that by the end of the year, and especially when these two teams meet up in Week 8. I really believe that Harbor Beach is a serious contender for the Greater Thumb East Championship this year.
First of all, Harbor Beach needs to get healthy. If they're going to beat Ubley, they're going to have to get healthy. They're down their top two running backs, which also means they're down their top linebacker, probably another linebacker, defensive back. Tyler Burkhart, outstanding. We showed flashes of that speed in Week 1 when we seen him in Bad Axe. And they had some other guys come up, make some big plays. Farmer getting some big time playing time. Anderson getting some opportunities. We know James Shelke is always capable. But again, when it comes to Harbor Beach, it's similar to the Lakers theory. If Brennan Wisner's upright and he's running that offense, he is very dangerous. When James Shelke is healthy and upright, the Harbor Beach offense is quite potent and very good. So I certainly think Harbor Beach is capable. It's going to be tough because they're going to have to roll into Ubley and try to beat them in Week 8. But we will learn a lot more when Harbor Beach plays Sandusky, because I certainly think they, between them and Brown City, there's a couple tougher teams in the East yet that they got to go through before we can worry about Harbor Beach and Ubley.
Let's talk about that game for a second. They take on Sandusky, who's 2-2. Of course, they lost last week in a overtime to USA. Very easily could be 3-1. What's that Harbor Beach-Sandusky ball game look like?
I think Harbor Beach, again, is going to lean on that defense. This is going to come down to Harbor Beach's defense, putting this team in an opportunity to win. So far, if you take away what they've done again, take away the Week 2 loss to Beaverton, it's single digits every single week defensively. Now, I know some of the caliber of opponents isn't there, but you can't discount that, because last year, Harbor Beach played the same schedule and couldn't stop anybody at any time. Marlette, Brown City, nobody. So the fact that this defense is so improved that it's been single digits given up 3 out of 4 times this year, I think that's going to be the key to the game. Contain Sandusky and play great defense.
And I think if they play great defense, they'll definitely beat Sandusky. But if they don't play great defense, I still think this offense is now dangerous enough where they can go out and win a shootout if they had to. So I think Harbor Beach has kind of come together after last year's hiccup where, let's face it, they couldn't stop a nosebleed. This year, the whole offseason was built on one word: physical. They're winning in the trenches. They're creating opportunity for any tailback to take the football to have success. And then James Shelke over the top can beat you at any time. And on defense, you're seeing the same thing. They're not allowing the rushing yards. They're not allowing people to run it down their throat, forcing teams to maybe throw some passes and try to throw on those guys. Again, having Shelke in the backfield and some of them linebackers, they're picking passes off. So they're forcing other teams to do what they don't want to do. And that's exactly the way we remember Harbor Beach football the past 6, 8, 10 years.
Harbor Beach's offense is averaging just over 30 points a game, but now after week number 4, they have the number 1 defense in the Greater Thumb Conference by numbers. They are allowing 10.5 points on defense per game. Ubley comes in the number two spot, a half point behind them at 11, then Lakers at 12.5, and then Reese actually at 17.5 after that, USA at 20 in the five spot. And one last game we're going to take a look at from week number four. In eight-player football, the Deckerville Eagles and Kingston squared off on Friday in Kingston, and it was a toss-up. In the first quarter, Kenton Bowerman for Deckerville gets the scoring going, a two-yard run. The two-point conversion fails. It's 6-0 after 12 minutes, Deckerville leading. And as time expires in the second quarter, Kenton Bowerman with his 50-yard run, the two-point conversion failed, makes it 12-0 Deckerville, leading into halftime. Right, all's well, not so fast. Kingston comes out in the third quarter with the only score in that quarter. Hunter James with the 15-yard pass to Eric Hobson. Two-point conversion's good, and it's a four-point ball game entering the final quarter, 12-8. Early in the fourth quarter, Isaac Kynan with a 40-yard pass to Zach Ostrowski to bring it back out to a 12-point lead. Two-point conversion was good. It's 20-8 Deckerville. But then Kingston responds again, and Hunter James with a 63-yard pass with 48 seconds left in regulation to Eric Hobson. Two-point conversion fails. It's a one-possession game, 20-14. Kingston attempts an onside kick less than a minute to play, except Deckerville recovers and runs the clock out. Deckerville survives in week number four, 20-14.
Well, there's a story behind the story, and we just found this out, that the top two running backs for Deckerville did not play in this game. So that'd be Cruz Ibarra and Cole Romzak. So that definitely tells you a little bit about why this game was that close, because quite frankly, this game shouldn't have been that close. But when you take your top two running backs out of the game, that's going to limit your offense. Deckerville did enough to win. They do not care about style points. They don't care about rankings. They don't care about anything. There's a bigger picture in play. They want to get back to that state championship game and win it. And if that means holding your top two running backs out against Kingston because they're a little dinged up, so be it. 20-14. Doesn't matter to them.
Well, Kenton Bowerman is going to need next week off after getting 36 carries. So I guess I understand that they're banged up, but the game we've seen, Cruz Ibarra was touching the football every single play. So I'm not going to question play calling by Coach Brown, but if Kenton Bowerman's certainly capable of running the football, we know Cruz Ibarra is and Cole Rumzik is. I'm surprised there isn't more of a timeshare going on in some of these games, but nonetheless, they've been doing it a long time. They know what they're doing. Kenton Bowerman certainly stepped up, 36 carries, 200 yards, and a couple scores. He certainly was very impressive in this game, but I don't think Deckerville's ever worried. I mean, in the fourth quarter, they were still up two scores when that game started. Again, like you mentioned, they're not out to score 50 points and put a running clock up on people. They're here to win games, play physical. I just wonder if there's a way where they could rotate some of these guys in.
Deckerville now 4-0 on the season. They are at against Dryden in Deckerville on Thursday, and Kingston hosts Lawrence on Friday. Should be very interesting there. It's time for one last break, and this upcoming segment is being brought to you by McCormick Motors of Pigeon, home of the honest sale. See Marion Scheller, Alec McCormick today, and see why all roads lead to McCormick Motors of Pigeon. Left side or right side, you're listening to The Strong Side. You're listening to the WLW Sports presentation of The Strong Side with Clark Ramsey, Dave Hanson from the Here and Daily Tribune, Paul P. Adams. Let's take a look at week number five of high school football, halfway through the regular season already. Dryden and Deckerville are facing off on Thursday in Deckerville. Deckerville at 4-0, Dryden at 1-3, CPS and North Huron, CPS 1-3, North Huron at 3-1. That's in Kindy on Friday. Peck and Owengage. Owengage just got their first victory of the season. They're 1-3. Peck and 2-2 in Owendale on Friday at 7 p.m. Bay State All Saints and Akron Fairgrove facing off on Friday in Fairgrove. Watch out for traffic there. It's going to be backed up every way. Akron Fairgrove at 0-4. Bay State All Saints at 3-1. Caseville, New Haven, Merritt were supposed to, but that is a forfeit from Caseville. In the NCTL Stars, we have Larry against Kingston. Lawrence at 3-1. Kingston at 2-2. Burton Madison Academy against Mayville, both teams at 1-3 in Mayville, the land where you really can't get to anywhere straight from Mayville. Morris and Flint International House of Pancakes on Friday in Flint. Flint International at 4-0, Maurice at 4-0 as well.
no better game on the schedule than Morrison in the House of Pancakes. I mean, two undefeateds. We don't know exactly how good they are. This is going to go a long way to telling us who could be that solid contender for the crown that Deckerville's wearing right now.
No question about it. Both teams scored high 50 points last week. They're ready to face off. It's going to be a great game. Can't wait to see who decides to be the team that faced Deckerville.
On to 11-player football. My apologies there, Dave. On to 11-player football. Ubley and Marlette are on Thursday action due to a shortage of referees. Ubley at 3-1, Marlette at 1-3 in Marlette's on 7 p.m. on Thursday. Harbor Beach and Sandusky on Friday at 7 p.m. Harbor Beach at 3-1, Sandusky at 2-2. Round City at Memphis, both teams winless on the season. Someone's going to go out there with a victory. And then into the Greater Thumb West. Bad Axe at USA. Bad Axe at 1-3. USA at 2-2. Reese and Vassar squaring off. Both teams at 2-2. And probably the biggest game of the week. Cass City and Lakers at 4-0. Lakers at 3-1.
I agree. That's the biggest game of the week. And if there's a second game that you would go to, it would be Harbor Beach and Sandusky. That's a very... Those are the two most intriguing games. But Cass City and Lakers... That is a Greater Thumb West championship type game right there. I think obviously the winner controls its own destiny and is really going to be the favorite. I think you have to. We're not making picks this week, so I could actually say what I'm leaning towards.
That's true. Our broadcast team is off the air this week.
I would lean a little bit towards Lakers. I think they've been playing a little, very complete ball, especially since week one. And Cass City, that little stumble that they almost had against USA really has me worried.
Cass City has been riding a high since beating Ubley, and I don't know if they've really played good football since then. It's going to be a great game. You always got to favor the home team by a couple points. Give me Lakers in a close battle. But the other game I don't want to forget about, Harbor Beach Sandusky. That game maybe not quite as important as Cass City Lakers, but the winner of Harbor Beach Sandusky is clearly the team that is going to be facing off against Ubley for probably the Greater Thumb East.
And, of course, like I was saying earlier, Dave and I are off this coming week as Dave's at a golf conference and I am on assignment as well. So we will not be on the airwaves, but we will have a team out at the North Huron CPS ball game with coverage starting right about 6:50 with kickoff at 7 p.m. on Sports Radio 102.1. That is your game of the week on the WLW Sports Network. So, and that also means no Strong Side next Sunday as well, as we will still be gone. But we will return with the Strong Side the following Sunday after week number 6 as we're getting close to the old playoffs. Playoffs indeed, even if you're from Indianapolis. So if you're taking a look there, some big games this week. Lakers, Cass City, Harbor Beach, Sandusky. Ubley still trying to keep on moving as they're trying to move to 4-1 as the playoffs, that 6-bid automatic berth is right on the cusp for some teams.
And I know you saw this, Clark. Snooze to use. Got his projections up. It's projection time.
So it's all coming out really quick here. Tonight's was of the Strong Side was brought to you by Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine, McCormick Motors of Pigeon, Randy's Hunting Center of Bad Axe, Thumb National Bank and Trust, and Sure, better health, better life. Are you sure? So on behalf of Dave Hansen from the Huron Daily Tribune, Paul P. Adams, I'm Clark Ramsey, producer of this broadcast. We hope you enjoyed tonight's Strong Side. We will see you a couple weeks from now, but we'll have on the WLW Sports Network, CPS and North Huron this Friday at 7 p.m. Until then, so long and happy football season.